Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, October 5th, 23, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 157. The fifth paragraph down, beginning with the man in the bed was told, ending with talk about the mental state preceding the first drink. And we're going to read and comment on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C., who will be reading the text, Lois P., who will be reading page 164, Dion R. is our backup reader today, newcomer greeter, Kathleen W., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference number for yesterday, Wednesday, October 4th, 2023, is 20,717, or 20717. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,719, or 20719. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Donna L. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Donna L. from Florida. I thank you for letting me give back some of what was given to me. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do so.
Well, thank you so much, Donna L. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Stephanie L. And thank you for your service, and thank you to everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L., recovered in Rhode Island. And I'm going to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special members. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass. Let's have a good meeting.
Oh, thank you so much, Joanna. I'll appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. We want everyone to have a chance to share. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 157, that fifth paragraph down, beginning with, "The man in the bed was told," ending with, "Talk about the mental state preceding the first drink." We're going to read and comment on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to get us started.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for your service. Good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. The man in the bed was told of the acute poisoning from which he suffered, how it deteriorates the body of an alcoholic and warps his mind. There was much talk about the mental state preceding the first drink. And I know for me, for decades, I felt my bondage to food was my problem to fix. Yet I continued to try and fail. I was convinced that I needed to try harder, and so I tried again and again, only to get the same outcome. Yet when I began my 12-step recovery journey, I learned that I had a disease. My body was locked in an allergic reaction, and my mind was locked in an obsession. My ways of thinking and processing were distorted. The result of my repeated failure to be able to break free was pure pain and misery. Not just extra poundage and the restrictions that created. It was the frustration of feeling hopeless. I was sure that I was weak-willed and that I would always be full of shame and guilt over this weakness. Then I was taught that I would never be strong enough on my own. However, there was another way that worked if I was willing to do the work and turn my life over to a greater power. I came to understand that instead of insisting that I fix me, there was a process of repair and restoration that was available to me simply by my choice to change. This change would be possible, and the release from this mental distortion would happen by the guidance and grace of this greater power. And so it has been on this journey that I've discovered a relationship with this greater power, a way to trust and rely on this power, and to have a new way of living. I'm very grateful for it. With that, I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Penny, Elsie. Appreciate it. Well, we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any of the vision meetings, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your shares to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up, and please, when you hear the timer, we ask that you please finish your sentence, not necessarily your thought. This is a big meeting. We have lots of people who want to share, and we really do want to give as many people a chance to share as possible. So I'm going to ask for your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from, and who would like to share on this paragraph.
B in Arizona.
Oh, I didn't hear your first name.
Wendy B in Arizona.
Wendy. Got you, Wendy. Thank you.
Laura W in New Jersey.
I've got you, Laura.
Margaret O from Connecticut.
Margaret O from Connecticut. Gotcha. Who else would like to share?
Dion R.
Janice R.
And got you, Janice PM.
Thank you.
Just want to get in
Veronica B
first. I have Veronica B. All right, we'll start with this. I've got Wendy B, Laura W, Margaret O, Dion R, Janice PM, Veronica B. And if you could please let us know where you're calling from, we'd appreciate it. And we'll start off with Wendy B, followed by Laura W.
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And I'm relating to how it deteriorates the body and warps the mind. And, you know, when I was living in my addiction, my God was my addictive substances. You know, that was what drove me, that they were my master, you know, that I served. And, you know, I was ruled by my taste buds. I was a glutton with no ability to say no or to moderate the excess that showed on my body. You know, I was overweight, and you know, I was unhealthy because I wasn't eating for the nutrients of my body. You know, that I would need to maximize my health. You know, and I was eating junk, and I was slowly poisoning my body. I wasn't interested in exercise or building strong muscles to serve me later in life. You know, I just wanted to coast through life, you know, taking the easy way out, you know, indulging myself. And, you know, my mind was warped because my priorities weren't right. You know, I was selfish. I wasn't interested in, you know, having better, healthier relationships. You know, other people and their needs weren't my concern. You know, my concern was getting what I wanted when I wanted it. And so thanks to this program, you know, God has straightened me out, you know, and by his grace, you know, he's helped me develop a healthy body, and he's helped me have, you know, a sane mind, you know, desiring to align myself with his will and his calling for my life. you know, and I'm no longer living, you know, to serve myself, you know, but to serve others. And it's just truly a miracle. And thanks to this program. And thank you to God. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next up, we've got Laura W., followed by Margaret O.
Thanks, Stephanie. Good morning. This is Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, the man in the bed was told. So he's not really doing the talking. Bill D. is not doing the talking. Bill and Bob are doing the talking to him. And they're, at this point, you know, from what I gather, they're bringing him down. You know, they're bringing him to the point of seeing his hopelessness. Because I don't know about you, but I wasn't ready to change until I felt completely and utterly hopeless. Because why would I? You know, why would I want to change if it was still doing something for me? And it didn't, and it began to, you know, the change happened when I stopped resisting, when I stopped fighting. And you know, this mental state that they talk about, there was much talk about the mental state preceding the first drink. And 19 years, I've been recovered for 19 years, thanks to my higher power. But prior to that, I was in a severe relapse of anorexia and exercise bulimia. And I didn't know how I got there. You know, I had been recovered for 5 years. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, wait a second, how did I get here? How did I get there into the state? And that's what they're talking about. They're talking about that mental state preceding the first drink. So the food for me is the last thing to go. You know, so recovery is a strong brick wall if I keep it built every day. But if I start taking the bricks out one at a time, by stop going to meetings, stop doing my 10 steps, living in resentment and anger, living in fear, lying, those type of things, that wall is going to crumble. And then I'm going to sit there and go, wait a second, I was doing so well. How did I get there? And where I really wasn't, because I was not, you know, it's the mental state. I was not in the mental state. I wasn't connected to my higher power. And for me, that's what it's about. If I connect to my higher power every morning and throughout the day and at the end of the day, regardless of what happens, I can and will stay in recovery. So it's a great, great paragraph. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Laura W. from South Jersey. Next up, Margaret O., followed by Dion R. And Margaret, can you hit star one, please? We can't hear you. Okay. Well, Margaret, we'll come back to you. Dion R., can you go next?
Yes.
Thank you.
Dion R. Sorry. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Ohio. Oh, the true poisoning. That's what's standing there for me, poisoning, poisoning, poison. That's what the food did to me. It was poison. And because I aired my feelings, I didn't want to feel nothing. I stayed in denial for years in Overeaters Anonymous because I did not want to feel. I wanted to think. Thinking was good. But feeling, no. And had resentment, no. Just eat, you know. And someone told me, why are you resentment when you don't work the step? It's like you're angry at someone, so you're going to kill yourself. You're going to eat poison, you know, something you know you're allergic to, Dion, and you still want to eat it? Yes, that was I. That was definitely me. And I suffered. The difference is today, when I have problems or resentments, I got a tool. I got a special set of tools, I like to say. That'll get me out of anything, no matter what I'm supposed to do and be. God is my higher power. He will guide me through, and I'm not that word halfway through that first sentence, suffer. I'm not suffering. No matter what I go through, I just know there's a brighter end to it, or a brighter outcome, shall I say. Not always an end, but a brighter outcome, because I got a special set of 12 steps that I can work on any problem. And it keeps my mind, it keeps my body, and in tune as God want me to be. I'm not perfect, and most of my close people know. But today, I'm not living in that mental torture and suffering, feeling like I was feeling or trying not to feel. avoiding feelings. And today I feel them. If I need to cry, I need to laugh, whatever, I could be okay with Dion, just where I am today. And with that, I'll pass. And thanks for allowing me to be of service. Have a great day.
Well, thank you so much, Dion R. from Ohio. And I'm wondering if Margaret still wants to share.
I'm here.
Are you
can
there?
You hear me?
Okay, awesome. Yes, we can. Thank you so much. Go for it.
I'm sorry. I went to, like, my phone blanked out, so I touched it to make it come back to life, and I hit the hang up button. Oh, no. But anyway.
No worries.
Okay, thank you. I'm Margaret O. I live in Connecticut, and I'm really glad to be on this meeting. The line, how it deteriorates the body of an alcoholic and warps his mind. So I am actually, I have a food hangover this morning. I hate to say it. It's so odd. I've been in this program division. I've been in OA since 1998, and I've had a lot of recovery. I'm at my goal weight. I was a former bulimic. I have a lot of serenity with food, but I have these kind of tantrums, I call them, where I just like go off program and I blow my abstinence. And so I started Vision July 4th, and I got with a sponsor. I got onto Lisa Merrill's plan. I'm just going to share like whatever's going on right now, and that's not necessarily too much to do with the reading, but I mean, this is definitely the reading for me today, because I'm feeling the effects. It's like I feel hungover. But it's like I'm doing perfectly on the, I hate that word, perfectly. I'm doing well with the abstinence. I'm weighing and measuring. I'm following everything. I've got a scale. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm going to meetings every week. I go to in-person OA meetings, Vision meetings on the phone. So I had a sponsor that didn't work out. Then I had another sponsor and that didn't work out. And it's mainly because it's such a strict program. It's like I feel like so much resistance to this. I feel like I'm in a vice, like someone's coming down with a hammer on me. I mean, the person, I was just going to work with somebody. I've been looking for a sponsor for about a month now. And I've been abstinent, but last night for no reason. I mean, and it's interesting, the person who just shared, not to crosstalk, but she said something that just struck me, like when you're angry at someone, you hurt yourself. Oh my gosh. So out of nowhere, I'm just sitting on the couch. I'm perfectly abstinent and it's 10:30 at night and I'm just like making a trip to the kitchen. I think I'll have some crackers and pumpkin seeds and it's, oh my gosh. I stopped. I said a prayer to God. Actually, I had to go to use the bathroom, so I said a prayer while I was away from the kitchen. God, please help me not to eat anything right now, you know. Let me just go to bed or whatever I have to do. It kind of came through. It just, the disease just took over, even with praying. And so I've worked through my fourth step with the second sponsor I had. But then she was really strict, and she wound up firing me because I went away to see my nephew, and whoops, there's time. So anyway, I'm struggling, so I'm hoping I can find someone at the end of the meeting to work with. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Margaret O. Next up, we have Janice P.M., followed by Veronica B.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, and everyone, good morning to you. My name is Janice P.M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Well, I'm going to take this paragraph a little bit different and show the skill of what sponsors do in the beginning with the brand new prospect. It tells us very simply here how to approach him. And what we see here, what I see, is 1, 2, 3, how Bill and Bob approached Bill D. in the bed. They first told their story, right? Why did they do that? Well, they did that so that the prospect could identify in. We know that. This is what it teaches us. This is the skill of the sponsor. We don't talk about God right now. We talk about, you know, does he identify with me? Then he talks about now the intensive work of trying to help Bill D, because he talked to them about the grave nature of the problem. And, you know, I didn't think anything that it was that grave. I thought that, oh, I could handle this. I'll do this time. I'll do that. Well, of course, my ego had to be deflated. I didn't really know the grave nature of this physical sensitivity. And, of course, I didn't know the obsession of the mind. How come I could stop? I could stop for 10 weeks, whatever it was. Then all of a sudden, this little voice in my head, the insanity of the disease came in and said, you know what? You've been off 10 weeks or 3 months or whatever it was. And it took over and said, go ahead. You can have a little bit. You see, that's the insanity of the disease. And this is what, as a sponsor, we can try to portray that, you know, this is the grave nature. It's twofold. It's mental. They talked a lot about the insanity of the mind when I am stone cold abstinent. That's when it happens. And then what happens is the action starts. So those are the two things that I have, you know, they really try to dwell with Bill D. Relate the information of the problem, because that's what Dr. Silk was told him to do. Don't go in on the bars and take them off the bench, off their seats, and talk about God and talk about this. They're going to run away. And so I've learned from this example of the state of mind that we have, that I had before that first bite. And boy, I did it every time. Before I got into the real solution, which we're going to talk about pretty soon. And this is the skill of a very simple, tells us just how to sponsor. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Janice PM. And before we go to Veronica B, I wanted to let everyone know, if you've just joined us, we're on page 157 in the big book. And we're on the fifth paragraph down, beginning with the man in the bed was told, ending with talk about the mental state preceding the first ring. So we're sharing about just that one paragraph this morning. And Veronica B., you're up.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, living in Los Angeles. And I thank you so much, Stephanie, for your service. The way I relate to this paragraph is, you know, I ate and threw up for 15 years before I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in 2009. And when I got a sponsor, I got a regular meeting schedule. I got busy doing the work. God removed the obsession to binge and to throw up. However, I was still using certain foods for an effect. And it took me more surrender and more knowledge and information about the allergy for me. I was still using certain foods because I just could not fathom total abstinence. I didn't even know what neutrality felt like. And it wasn't until I came and I surrendered in 2019, I found you guys. I started to, I showed up pretending like I was brand new, like I didn't know anything about program, and I just let my sponsor take me through the book so that I can get a relationship with a God of my understanding, and so I can really have a surrender in my heart, not in my mind, because I thought I knew it all. I had this attitude that I got this. I know all about 12 steps. I've been here since 2009. I had no clue. I didn't want to accept my illness, my allergy, that for me, if I eat certain foods, that will set up a phenomenal craving for me, and it gets me right back into the food. And, you know, I've been recovered since 2019, and I'm still bringing my food to work. I work as a flight attendant. I have to pack my food because I cannot depend on airplane food. I cannot hope that, oh, there'll be leftovers on the airplane. I can't wing it. That food is loaded with just roast stuff, high sodium, sugar, you name it. And that food, like, even if I eat, like, chicken teriyaki, you know, that stuff will set off the phenomena craving for me. It's that subtle. It's that subtle for me. And it'll make me just want to eat bigger portions, and then I'll have the safe, the self-hatred, and then that starts the binge for me. You know, that's how it works for me, my mind. So I have to continue to do the same work I did when I was brand new, and I just have to continue to have an open mind and stay in a surrender state. Stay in a surrender state. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Veronica B. from Los Angeles. We're going to take another group of names. I just want to remind everyone, if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, to please allow others the opportunity to share this morning and to keep your share to 3 minutes, and I'll let you know with the timer. We'll get first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Kathleen W.
I've got you, Kathleen
O-H.
W. Got you,
Jen R. Sherry W.
Got you, Jen R. I think I heard Sherry Joe W.
No, Sherry
LG.
W.
Sherry W. Sorry. Who was the next person?
Alice B.
G.
G. Alice G. Okay. I think we're going to pause there. I think that'll get us to the end. I've got Kathleen W., Mo H., Jen R., Sherry W., and Alice G., and please let us know where you're calling from. So we'll start with Kathleen W., followed by Mo H.
Hi, this is Kathleen W. I'm from Illinois, and I just wanted to claim my seat today. Also, you know, I could certainly identify in with the acute poisoning from which I suffered, and how it deteriorated my body and warped my mind. For me, that was sugar, you know. And when I first got sober, was in 2015, it was from what I call recreational sugar, baked goods and candies and things like that, from which I got a freedom from which I had never had before in my life. And it was miraculous after being in the program for, I think, 5 years, you know, really in the program. And I got free from that. But when I came, I still had this problem of I didn't feel neutrality and I didn't feel completely free, even though I was completely free from some of those foods, sugar foods. And it was a wonderful freedom. It was huge. But still, I felt like there was something, the food was still pulling me. And I would talk about various foods to sponsors and saying, you know, I'm having a problem with this food or I'm having a problem with that food. And it would take me a while before I'd lay that food aside. When I came to Vision, I was kind of in a state of floundering. I listened for several months before I finally introduced myself as a newcomer and met my present sponsor. And I'll tell you, that set aside prayer, I used that all those months I listened to Vision. I did not speak or anything, but just listened. And when I finally did speak to a woman who called me to welcome me, she spoke to my heart, and I felt I was having an open mind and a new experience. And I saw how some of these other foods and these behaviors had to be addressed. And I'm still really seeing this in my life. These other foods and other behaviors, I'm still seeing that from time to time. And I have a nutritionist, I have a sponsor, and I'm, you know, working towards, you know, a complete recovery And so with that, I'll pass. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you so much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. Next up, we have Mo H., followed by Jen R.
Hey, good morning. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service and all those giving service on the line today. No one talked to me about my acute poisoning before I got into the rooms. And even in there, I didn't hear how bad it was for me, at least, or at least I closed my mind to when other people were talking about how bad it was, because I would say it wasn't that bad for me. I didn't even know it was deteriorating my body because I was a dancer and, you know, I could diet really well and, you know, keep my body in shape. It did damage my teeth. I can admit that today. Got a lot of teeth problems. But the thing I did not understand or get was the mental state preceding the first bite. I just thought I liked food. I liked to eat. You know, I grew up in a generation of, you know, clean plate club. You know, clean your plate no matter what. And I did with everything, the good food and the not so good food. But, you know, that mental twist, which is that little teeny tiny thought in the head, which people have said, you know, oh, it'll be okay, or just one, or whatever, that leads me down the slippery slope. And I can't let it get to that mental state. So what I have to do is practice my program every day by connecting with my higher power upon the first thing waking up in the morning. Connecting throughout the day, being conscious contact. I am working on that because I tend to get off focus, and then I have to remind myself with the prayers that we have in the book, and phone calls, and just picking up a meditation book and reading a line or reading a couple of lines. All of that aids in keeping the mind not from my mind from going to the food. I am very grateful today that I do have neutrality around the food and it doesn't call to me, but when it does, I know something else is going on and I better do a 10 step on it. And I practice my 10 steps every day, not every day, but as I need to. And I think that's all I have to say. Thanks, Stephanie. And I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mo H. from Walnut Creek, California. Next up, we've got Jen R. followed by Sherry W.
Hi, this is Jen R. from Maryland. And it has taken me a long time to get food sober and recover. I was told about the mental blank spot very early, exposed to program very to the Big Book program very early, but I never totally got that prayer, meditation, and the other steps were what would keep the mental blank spot away. And it finally got into my brain that there is a direct inverse relationship between the amount of prayer and meditation I'm doing, that is talking and listening to God, and the number of blank spots I have. If I do my modified two-way prayer and my dialoguing with God, and I do that all day, all the time, or at least very frequently, like between every activity, all the time, I don't get the mental blank spots. The more I do it, the less chatter I have in my head. It's a direct relationship, indirect relationship. And if I could just impress anything upon the newbies or people still struggling, it's just explore step 11, lots of different ways to do it, find ways that work with you that allow you to open up and hear from your higher power. It makes all the difference. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Jen R. from Maryland. Next up, Sherry W., followed by Alice G.
Hi, thank you. This is Sherry W. I'm recovered compulsive overeater and recovered food addict and recovered exercise bulimic. And what I hear here is my experience that I heard it long time ago. It's not what I'm eating. It's what's eating me. And that is the problem. And so it's not just a tiny little thing where I have a physical allergy. No. What was the thought just before I had the crazy thought to pick up something that I'm not supposed to eat or something at a time when it's not for me to eat? In other words, it's not one of my regular meals. What was the thought that disturbed me? And I believe from my experience and what helped me and what's helped my sponsee is think of what is going on in my mind right now that's asking me to tranquilize it, that's asking me to numb it, that's asking me to distract me from the thought. Am I using the food as a drug? And I can't use it as a drug because then if I did, I have a second problem. The original problem, which asked me to use the food as a drug. And then the first problem, which is the food addiction, the compulsive overeating. I can't give in to that. And so when I have that thought, what I do personally is I say to God, if it's your will, please take this thought away from me. And if it's your will not to take the thought away from me, well, please show me what you want me to understand and what you want me to learn from this so that that thought will go away. And I won't want to use a substance that's bad for me. And that's basically what it is. So it's what's eating me. And I have to recognize the thought before I want to turn to an addictive behavior. And so when I look at the thought and I dispel it, it's gone. And then I don't have to eat. And that's what's worked for me. And that's what's worked for my sponsee. So I believe it's very important to stress that point. The mental twist truly is not just the physical addiction. It's also individual for each person. Each person, what's eating me? What's eating you? And that gets to the bottom of it. Thanks for letting me share. Appreciate your service.
Okay. And Sherry, where are you from? Can you let us know where you're calling from?
Nevada.
Nevada. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Sherry W. from Nevada. And next up, we have Alice G.
Morning. Thank you all for your service. It's good to be here today. Alice G., recovered but never cured, compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. This is really powerful stuff, as always, out of this book. And I just noticed when I was sitting here looking at the paragraph that it says the man in the bed. So he was detoxed. He was clear-headed. And then we talk about the poisoning that I'm suffering from and how it deteriorates my body and warps my mind. I had to hit a bottom with this disease personally before I could hear, before I could get those alcoholic foods out of my system, before I had the willingness to take my list of alcoholic foods to a fellow and say, these are all the things I overate on. These are all the situations I participated in to overeat on. and look at that and get those things out of my body to detox. My mind was definitely warped. I needed help. And back in the chapter, more about alcoholism, those three guys were all sober before they picked up a drink. They believed the lie. I would believe the lie and pick up my alcoholic foods. I'd believe this time it won't hurt me. It's all natural. It's organic. It's going to be okay. and then I'd get into the volume eating, right? And gratefully, today I use all the tools of Overeaters Anonymous every day. I take time out, as other people mentioned, every morning to connect with my higher power through prayer and meditation, and try to keep that conscious contact throughout the course of the day. There are worldly clamors in my life that distract me oftentimes, and I get spiritual amnesia and forget God and think that I'm running the show again. But I'm grateful that I have my fellows, too, to bring me back to what's really important, which is my connection with my higher power and seeing the beauty that is in each day because of clarity of mind through this program and connection. So this is good stuff. This is how it works. And we can have that power working in our life to have neutrality over the substance today. So I am very grateful for that, and I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Alice G. So good to hear you from Wisconsin. And we have time for one more. Who would like to close us out with a three-minute share?
Luann from Boise.
All right, Luann from Boise, you're up.
Hey, thank you. And wow, what a great meeting. And I'm feeling the acute poisoning warped my mind. And I'm reminded of when I was in the hospital for an operation, and they put me on a morphine drip. And every time the pain would start to come back, I would just start pumping that morphine drip. And it was just so sublime to be relieved of the pain. And, you know, basically I was in comatose condition, but that's how I lived my life with sugar. I had no skills to meet life. I had no structure to support me to face life squarely. And that was the pain I was anesthetizing with something I knew would work, which was sugar. And when I came to Vision and I started working this blessed program, it seemed intense at first, but I saw that working it was lifting me out of this helpless, hopeless mental condition with food. And it freed me, and I saw there is a new life. And to stay free now, I just do the work of 10, 11, and 12 to stay free. And I'm just so grateful for it, and I just thank everybody on the meeting and all the service here that, you know, helped me stay free. So thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Luann from Boise, Idaho. So let's see, we're right up at 10:48, so we're going to go ahead and close the meeting. We will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And can we get Lois P. to please read A Vision for You?
Absolutely, Stephanie. Thank you, and with my pleasure. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God, constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him, someone is muted, unmuted. God will constantly, thank you. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.